Welcome to the Beacon Blitz Podcast, a weekly recap of the biggest moments from high school football in the greater Akron area. Brought to you by the sports reporters of the Beacon Journal. Here are your hosts, Michael Bevin, Ashley Bastock, and Michael Leonard.
Welcome to the Beacon Blitz Podcast, a weekly recap of the greatest moments from high school football in the greater Akron area. I'm Ashley Bastock, joined alongside Michael Bevin and Michael Leonard, and we have all of the Week 9 action to discuss. We made it through the rain, guys, so let's start with Michael Bevin. You had the closest game of us three. You covered Talmadge topping Copley 28-21.
Yes, it was a very interesting game, and just a very interesting day weather-wise. It was forecast for showers in that 7, 8, 9 range. And at Copley Stadium, we didn't get rained until the very end of the game. It was in the 10 o'clock hour. It was about a minute to go, and Copley grabbed an interception with Colin Dixon securing the victory for Talmadge. And then they take a knee, and it started pouring. And everybody was just trying to stay dry, and it was pretty wild. But as far as the game, Copley for three quarters looked like the better team. They were playing very well, very efficient on offense, defense, special teams. Come fourth quarter, Talmadge scores 21 unanswered points. They win 28-21. Ty Hurst, he finished the game with two touchdown passes, both to Colin Dixon. And then their running back was a kid by the name of Ben Awiji. He scored twice as well. So for Talmadge, it was one of those games where they really didn't have much going for them there early on. They had two turnovers that were costly. And just Copley, you could tell, was gaining confidence, gaining momentum. They've had a bit of a tough season over there at Copley. This is now the second time they've lost by 7 points. The first one was to Twinsburg in overtime. And they also have 2 1-point losses, one to Buckeye and one to Revere. But they had some good moments from their quarterback, DeJuan Owens. He threw a touchdown pass to Glenn Parker. He also ran for a touchdown. So there were some bright spots for the Copley team. But overall, for Talmadge, it was their night. They really got tough there in the fourth quarter defensively. They did not allow Copley to get a first down on Copley's final 5 possessions, which I thought was pretty impressive. And then with Hurst, Dixon, and the rest of the guys offensively, they were able to secure the victory and improve to 7-2 with a game next week at home against Barberton.
And Michael Leonard, you had coverage of Stowe's 40-6 win over Twinsburg.
Yeah, this game, it went at about the way that you would expect, given the two teams record, even though Stowe has kind of gone into a very one-dimensional offense at this point. But it's a very good one-dimensional offense, largely because they have Xavier Preston, and who I still think is probably the best overall back in the in Summit County heading into week 10. Stowe got off to a bit of a slow start. It was 6-6 after one quarter, but then Stowe just completely started to pull away. It was up 20-0 in halftime, and then scored on three straight possessions to start the second half, which is pretty much all she wrote. Xavier Preston, three rushing touchdowns, owns 196 yards rushing, as well as a pass that he turned from a 5-yard pass into the flats into a 75-yard touchdown pass from backup quarterback Heckmate Boozer. It looks to me like the Bulldogs are going to be without Haldo and Bainbridge, their Division I quarterback, for the rest of the season, unless the Bulldogs make a long run into the playoffs. But Stowe's defense, was good enough when it needed to be after giving up the early touchdown to Twinsburg. They're going to be doing Neanderthal football really for the rest of the time. But of course, the victory for them sets them up for the game next week, as they will be taking on our rival Hudson at Bulldog Stadium.
You've had the chance to see Stowe quite a bit, it feels like, these last handful of weeks. What's the latest on Bainbridge? What have you been hearing about what's going on with him?
Well, I talked with Owen before the game tonight, and the good news is he's out of the sling that he was in last week against Nordonia, but he said he's just now getting a movement back into his throwing shoulder, and it is his throwing shoulder. So obviously, they're going to be a bit more careful with that. At this point, it looks like the only way he's going to be able to get back into the fold for the Bulldogs is if they were able to make a run onto the as he brought into the playoffs, which is not unthinkable given what this team is capable of. But as I said, expect to hear a lot of Xavier Preston, a lot of Teddy Gregory at this point. Nate Boozer's done a good job stepping in, and he's won the last two games as quarterback for the Bulldogs, but he had a grand total of 5 passes tonight, which tells you which way their offense is going.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it makes it easier when you have in Xavier Preston on your team, for sure. Well, to wrap up the games that we three were physically at tonight, I was at Archbishop Hoban as they hosted the number one ranked team in Division II, Cleveland Benedictine. And the Knights came away with a 28-10 win in this one. Lamar Sperling, for the second straight week, ran for 4 touchdowns for Hoban. But overall, ask pretty much anyone that's a part of that program, and Hoban insists they are not ready to classify themselves as a good team just yet. And, you know, I think a big part of that from talking to Coach Tim Terrell and the players that I spoke with is just that this team has obviously known a bunch of success, especially in recent years, winning 5 of the past 6 state titles. So they still think they have a long way to go. They don't want to classify themselves as a good football team yet because they don't think they have played their best possible football yet for the year. And I think, too, knowing that Benedictine was such a solid, solid team coming into this matchup, they were not, while they acknowledged that and knew that, they weren't focused on what this game meant in the postseason. So the background is they are both in Division II, Region 5. This could be a potential regional matchup that we see again in just a handful of weeks. But overall, you know, they do not care about the number of computer points they're going to get from a win on any single week. At least that's what they say outwardly, right? So they don't really seem to care about that or focus on it, and it's more just about that continued improvement where they have an idea of where they would like to be, where they think they could be, and have all of this experience in recent years getting back to the state tournament. So definitely a really, I think, solid win, and it really downpoured the second half of the game. So another bright spot besides Lamar Sperling was Javion Crable, their quarterback. He did not commit a turnover in the game, which, given how hard it was raining, that alone is impressive. And he put up some decent numbers at quarterback. He had a perfect 3-for-3 mark in the second half with his passing. He was 7-of-12 overall. And next week, the Knights get ready to host St. Ed's, the top-ranked team in Division I. So another huge, huge test for them going into week 10, right before the playoffs hit. So that's for the games that we were at. Looking at some of the other area scores, I know the first one that jumped out to me that I was kind of watching closely, and Michael Leonard already alluded to week 10 between Hudson and Stowe. Hudson gets a 42-35 overtime non-league win over Brunswick. Ryan Evans scored the game-winning touchdown there. And ironically, he also had 4 touchdowns tonight, just like Lamar Sperling did in Hoban. So, guys, have you had a chance to look at some of the other area scores and anything jumping out besides that one?
Well, I'll just reiterate what you were just talking about. Ashley, Hudson once again finding a way to pull it out. They've only had 1 loss this year, and that was to Nordonia, and that was by 1 point back in week 7. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens hence when they play Stowe next week. That game will be either de facto championship game in the Suburban League National Conference, with both teams coming in at 4-1 and heading into next week. Speaking of Nordonia, by the way, they bounced back from their loss to Stowe last week. The Knights came out and took out Brecksville tonight. I believe the final was 35-20, and that actually is because of the fact there were only 7 teams in the conference. That was Nordonia's final conference game in this year, so they have a very, very interesting game coming up next week. In week 10, they are hosting Benedictine. Keep in mind, the Knights also were in Division II, who Region 5, so they may not talk about playoff point implications in heading into this contest, Ashley, but that game is going to have enormous amounts considering that coming into tonight, Benedictine was one and Nordonia was two in the division into Region 5 standings. I imagine Hovind will probably jump into the number one spot moving forward, but it's still very much all there as we head into the final week of the regular season.
Yeah, just, I mean, kind of talk what you guys were talking about with Hovind and with Hudson, two very impressive wins. Those are teams that we've been able to see this season. Hovind, Hudson, Walsh Jesuit, Arberton, those are kind of the four teams that it seems that have separated from the pack. And then you got Norton that is undefeated as well. They are idle this week. They have a game next week against Field to finish off potentially a 9-0 regular season. Sticking to teams that didn't play, Aurora and Highland, a big matchup of the Suburban League American Conference. They did not play tonight with the thunderstorms that were forecasted. They decided to postpone their game to tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. So that'll be a big game in the Suburban American. With just seeing Hovind earlier this season, Ashley and I were talking here on the phone earlier, their offensive and defensive lines have been really impressive. And same goes for Hudson as well. So those are kind of some observations that I had. In the Akron Public Schools tonight, East defeated Ellett by a wide margin. I don't have the score actually in front of me. It was 51-0. And Kenmore Garfield last night beat North 30-0. So those have been the top two teams so far. Firestone and Bootle play tomorrow afternoon over at Bootle, so that should be an interesting game. Those are kind of just some of the quick observations that I had.
Well, Michael Bevan, we were talking offline. The one big score, if you happen to go look at our scoreboard, that will probably jump out of you is Medina beating Lorraine 70-7. And you had a chance to see a special spectator, I guess, from a picture that you saw.
Yeah.
So, why don't you talk about that?
Yeah. So, I was at my game tonight, Talmadge Copley, and our photographer for the Akron Beacon Journal, Jeff Lang, was fiddling with his phone and looked on Twitter and showed me a picture of Bernie Kosar, former Browns quarterback, with James Franklin, the Penn State coach, at the Medina Lorraine game. And obviously, Drew Aller, the quarterback for Medina, is a Penn State recruit. So, with the Nittany Lions not scheduled to play a game this weekend, their head coach, James Franklin, was in town in Northeast Ohio over at Medina High School to watch them record a 70-7 win. So those were kind of an interesting occurrence. And, that was kind of a fun one to see. Obviously not fun for Lorraine, but for Medina, they're having a terrific season. They're 9-0. They are the top team, undisputed top team in Medina County and one of the best teams in all of the state. So look for big things out of those guys here in the playoffs in Division One.
Yeah, it's almost like I wish James Franklin, well, I'm sure James Franklin wishes that he had maybe gotten to see Drew Aller play a little bit more. I wonder how long he was actually in that game so that he could even get
probably
to watch.
Probably not very long.
Yeah, probably not much, if any, of the second half with a lopsided score like this one. And I know Lorraine is struggling this year. I believe they're still searching for their first win. Just quickly scrolling through our scoreboard, North Royalton did top Wadsworth tonight 28-10 in another Suburban League National Conference game. CVCA beat Tuslaw 36-6. Woodridge getting a 35-20 win over Streetsboro. Those are probably the last handful that really just worth pointing out given who we've covered and conference standings and all that sort of stuff.
One thing I should mention, Ashley, is the fact that much like Aurora Highland, Walsh Jesuit had their game tonight postponed for 24 hours because of the weather up in Cuyahoga County. They were scheduled to head up to Parma to take on Padua Franciscan. That game has been put down for a 24 hour thing. Keep in mind, if Walsh is victorious, they will become the first ever Crown Conference champions in football. I could be mistaken, but that might be Walsh's first ever league championship in football because they were an independent before joining the North Coast League back in the day. One other thing I wanted to just mention, you mentioned that on that victory for Woodridge over Streetsboro, Ashley, that's a huge victory for the Bulldogs, not only because Streetsboro has long been the team to beat in the Metro Athletic Conference, but Woodridge has just done what I would previously think would have been unthinkable. They have won three varsity football games in a span of 7 days. For those of you who were paying attention earlier this week, Woodridge opened them this week by scoring a 46-6 victory over Springfield on Tuesday. This is what COVID has done unto those folks. They've completely thrown the schedule into a blender. So, but the Bulldogs, with their actually with their fifth straight win, heading into what is going to be a very interesting contest next week against Ravenna, that could have that once again might have playoff implications at the Division IV level.
Yes, yep. That's Woodridge right. I was just going to say, I was just going to make a joke. Sorry to cut you off, but I have to get the punchline in before my head explodes. But, Michael, so basically you got to witness some midweek action, which I know was a part of your lead through story, so I kind of stole your joke. But if you haven't read his story yet, go find that from the other day, because definitely a unique thing to have a high school football game here on a Tuesday of all days.
Yes. Yes, you were used to hearing the Mid-American Conference Maction. I'm a University of Akron graduate. I know Michael's a Bowling Green grad. So the Maction at the collegiate level, and now we get Maction at the high school level here just outside of Akron. And Woodridge, they're a team that Kamari Mitchell, he's been putting up some really good numbers for them as a receiver, as a guy all over the place on defense, special teams. And then tonight, a kid named Daniel Spanka ran for 143 yards and 3 touchdowns. Earlier in the week, it was a kid named Dixie that was running the ball for him. So Woodridge has really been able to mix and match with some different guys and, you know, put together a pretty nice season. And knocking off Streetsboro, that's a pretty good win, 35-21. That's a pretty impressive mark for them. And just I want to also touch on Mogador. Mogador, a team that got a nice win tonight. William Butler had a big night for them, ran for 181 yards and 23 carries out of 81 yards passing, scored several touchdowns here. They win that game 29-22, Mogador over Rootstown.
Yeah, one last thing before we go, I just want to talk to you a little bit about what you're saying about Woodridge, Mike. The reason why that happened is because Woodridge is just definitely not the same team, you know, that they played in Norton and only lost to them and literally on the last play of the game, 14-6 back in week 4. Keep in mind, Kamari Mitchell was not available for the first half of the season. Daniel Fanka had been hurt for that game and several others. And they also are missing in starting quarterback Charlie Lambis for the better part of the season. So this is the real Hugh Woodridge, I think. And I know all that the Jeff Decker and company are looking to get back into the swing and get their first playoff victory in 5 years.
All right, guys, that's about does it for week 9. So you can find Michael Bevin on Twitter at mbevinabj. You can find Michael Leonard on Twitter at mleonard_abj. And you can find me at ashleybastock42. And, of course, be sure to follow at Beacon Journal as well for the latest up-to-date news and sports news and info on all of our Friday night games. So, until next time, we will see you on the sidelines in week 10.